simple song.
Deserve it, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Welcome, 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 friends and listeners. Here back with me on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. I'm your host here today, Sister Keisha, and I'm back in the studio. I'm so excited to be here to share our new message for the first of the year, 2019. I'll give a shout out. A year of reveal. That's what it is. It's the year of reveal. This message today is very timely because the Lord has begun to expose many people who have been operating under the mask. And that has fooled many believers, many people because of their gifts. We do not want to be caught by playing around using our gifts to deceive others. Before I go into this message, we will enjoy this selection of music because he deserves it. Praise God. Okay? And to all our friends and listeners, just so you know, we do not claim the rights of music and artists, professional artists' music here. It is only added to enter us into the praise of the Most High. I shall return, beloved, after this song. Praise God.
Now, come on, say it. From the
together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and answer and say,
my hallelujah belongs to you.
Well, it's time, everyone. It's time here to come back on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry and start out the new year right by exposing the masquerading spirits that may sometime hide within many lives of humans. We are all affected by this spirit. This spirit has ruined, it's disrupted, destroyed many believers' lives. And it's time for us to hear what the word of the Lord thy God wants to introduce to our ears today in regards to the masquerading spirit. If you have been tricked by the spirit, don't be ashamed. Know that the Lord thy God has you on his heart. And we are here all to expose this masquerading spirit, so that we may not allow this spirit to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. Let's go into prayer, my friends, right now. Oh, precious Lord, we come today asking that you will give, you will help, you will give us the ability to discern and learn how to hear your true and living voice. In your word, you speak of the sheep. Your sheep hear your voice, and a stranger they shall not follow, but will flee from him. In John chapter 10, verse 5. Please, dear Lord, help us to flee from our enemies, the strangers of our lives, and for us to continue to stay in the presence of the Most High. I thank you and love you, dear Lord, for all that you are. And all of my hallelujahs belongs to you. Hallelujah. Praise God, everyone. It has been a blessing to be back here on the air today. I'm here trying to expose this masquerading spirit. I've heard many people be devastated, be afflicted by this spirit, be chastened by this spirit in their dreams, have been masquerading the truth and identity to your blessings. And today we're going to see if we can understand a little bit more about this masquerading spirit. If you have your pens and papers, please take your notes, follow through and along with me, and let's get into the word right now. The origin of the word masquerade was identified in 1950s and was noted in French, where people would attend parties exposing themselves by wearing masks and disguises in often elegant, historical, and fantastic costumes. The word masquerade means to go about under false pretenses or as a false character, assume the character of oneself out by giving or disguising oneself. So this spirit has been around for many years, friends. People have hided the spirit of a masquerade by just using the fluence of masquerade, the mask that we've all seen in the past, at historical balls and just elegant events. People will come with masks on, and that mask was a symbolic way to hide the person's true identity, you know. And so that's what a masquerading spirit is. They will hide their true identity in a human's person's facial features, movement, attributes. And you will note that when you're at sleep, if they are entering into your dreams, they will look like people you know. But it does not mean that they are there to serve the purpose that you see in the dream. They're normally there to forge some type of agreement or covenant with the dreamer. And once they get that dreamer to agree or to accept some type of deception or some type of curse or some type of plague against their life, that person can be very, very afflicted for a long time. And that's why it's very important for us to identify this masquerading spirit, because many times things start right there in the spiritual realm, which is normally entered into when we're dreaming about things. And we will see different excerpts and dreams about our lives. We'll see people we know. Some people have been from our past, loved ones who have passed away, and we'll identify them and we'll be hugging and kissing on them, and we really don't realize that we're actually kissing and hugging on a masquerading spirit. This is a powerful message, and I tell you that you will find out so much more than you ever known. I haven't heard these types of spirits in the church. I'm going to be very honest. These types of spiritual things that have been going on all along throughout our life, we've been having dreams, going through different things, have not been really identified in the church so much, because the church has stayed away from the area of deliverance. And in order for you to be really delivered from a masquerading spirit, you need to understand what is a masquerading spirit. What is their true intentions? Why are they trying to come towards you? Why are they trying to interact with you? Okay, so one of the things that we want to talk about is break down the meaning, if we can, of the operation of a person who is masquerading something. And one of the meanings that comes from masquerade is false. They are a false person. They're not being their true organic self. They're not being who they're supposed to be in the real sense. And one of the meanings breaks it down as a false person is tending to deceive or mislead or deceive someone, like a deceptive person, okay? The second example is they're not genuine and they're more like a counterfeit. And that's another thing with the masquerading spirit. A masquerading spirit is a counterfeit spirit as well. They're like, to me, three. There can be considered a copycat spirit, a masquerading spirit, or they can be operating under a counterfeit spirit. And they're copying the Holy Spirit, or counterfeiting the Holy Spirit to a human being. In most cases, many believers have been deceived by the masquerading spirit because they believe that it was the Holy Spirit telling them something that the masquerading spirit had revealed to them. And they just believed it and they went out on it. And when things didn't go well, they were very disrupted and very devastated by the outcomes of the masquerading spirit, okay? One of the words that endorses a masquerade spirit is the counterfeit, like I just said. Let's expose the characteristics of a counterfeit. A counterfeit is the meaning which states made in exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intentions to deceive or defraud, okay? Another definition states that a fraudulent imitation of something else, a forgery, something like a forgery. So basically, it doesn't have its own real identity. So what it is doing, it is masquerading someone or something else other than itself, okay? Some of the synonyms of a counterfeit spirit is, and these are synonyms of a counterfeit spirit, and just a breakdown so you can identify what it looks like. A person who is fake, a forgery, copy, reproduction, a replica, imitation, likeness, lookalike, mock-up, dummy, substitute, fraud, sham, phony, pirate, knock-off, rip-off, and put on. So those are some of the attributes a counterfeit spirit. It's a phony spirit. It's a fake spirit. It's a person who is a look-alike, okay? Like I said, in a dream, you may see a relative or someone that looks like someone you know, and you may believe that is someone with all your heart. Oh, no, that was my auntie such and such, or that was my cousin, or that was my spouse. But in that dream, you have to really pay attention if you can remember what it is that they were really trying to get or get your agreement or permission to do in that dream. And sometimes, you know, for myself, I've had dreams in the past and still do. And I will have to ask the Lord to remind me or show me what it was that I dreamed, because those kinds of spirits will act very forcefully to block you from seeing what it is that they were trying to do in the dream, so you will not challenge what they were trying to do in the spiritual realm. You know, we as people, we will get, you know, our dreams, like I just said, you know, and that can sometimes put us in such a serious damage towards our future, because we have to realize that we cannot ignore a dream, in a sense, really one that's clear, one that is actually showing a potential sense of a meaning or a person it's pointing out, because people are sometimes identified as a person that you might want to focus in on in your dream. God will warn us in different ways when we may have come across a person who is trying to deceive us, trying to use deception to mislead us or cause us any types of disruption in our life and our walk with Him. When we ignore a person's conduct, we give them a right to deceive us. When we overlook a person's character, we allow them to influence our character. And when we cannot, and when we do ignore that person's character, we can then no longer be able to discern the good and the bad that's coming from that person. And that's very important. You know, sometimes, you know, we will have people in our life that, you know, we know that they're not coming from the right place, or sometimes they're moody, or they're just saying words out of their mouth. And with us not being able to be strong enough to say, okay, you know what, I don't want you to speak that over my life, we right away allow our ability to discern and disable our discernment around people when we excuse their behavior and their character without questioning or correcting that bad behavior that they're showing before us, okay? And we're not supposed to promote it with them, because what happens is we will allow those people to speak a curse over our life easily with our own permission when we don't stop them in their tracks. It is important that you do not let people just speak anything over your life. You have to be able to pay attention to what they're saying so that you can say, no, I do not receive that in the mighty name of Yeshua or Jesus Christ of Nazareth, however you know. And then you have to go and you have to tell them to the side. You can do it in a personal sense. Look, I don't feel comfortable when you say things like that around me. If this is not going to be something you can see yourself correcting, then maybe we can't be around each other so much, or whatever the case. Because I have in the past had to cut off people, you know, that was not so much that they were saying things negative. It was just the way they were shaped in their own background, you know, their own way they would see things, their own perceptions on people, the way they like to gossip about people and say things. And as you may know, if someone's gossiping about someone else to you, they're gossiping about you to someone else. So it is really important to pay attention to people, character and their conduct, because it really will affect your life eventually, one way or the other. The other thing is that the Lord was showing me about the word wheat and terror. A terror is an enemy of yours, who will do anything possibly to destroy you at any cost. So terrorists are people who are really sent, or they placed by the devil to make themselves seem like they're your friends. They're not really concerned about being your true friend. They're just on an assignment, I would say, by the enemy to basically deceive you and to take advantage of you in some way, shape, or form. And a wheat is considered a child of God, a believer, a person who God has already blessed so much, in that they're actually walking in the favor of God. And what terrorists do, they don't like wheats because they think wheats think, you know, that they're better than them. So that's why they try to pull them down most of the time. And, you know, even though in the Bible it speaks about the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the tares, and tares are like weeds. So they have always been kind of known through farmers and crops to grow right along with the wheat. And they have to be pulled off the wheat because they can sometimes be like a replica of the wheat. A weed can look like a wheat. But the Lord wants us to be able to identify that sometimes in our life we will be around people who really look like a wheat, but they're not. They're not really fashioned. They may be fashioned like a wheat, but they don't have the God anointing. They don't have God in their life like they will play like they do. They will, you know, try to make themselves seem like they truly love God, and they will know the scriptures. They will pray with you and make it look like, you know, they're very sincere. But behind your back, I'm telling you, they are not who they say they are. So that's why the Lord wants us to pay attention to the spirits that enter our life. We're not supposed to be just believing every spirit, you know. You know, I'll give you an example, you know, of a wheat and a terror situation. You know, a terror will come in your life and, you know, a nice, wonderful, a child of God will try to do what's right. And, you know, you'll think that, you know, you're being, you know, your regular self, you know, you're helping others, and they will come and they will, a terror come and try to ask you to help them on something they need. And you'll, you know, eagerly try to assist them, thinking you're doing it out of your brotherly love, concern, and love for them. And then all of a sudden, as soon as they get what they want, then they immediately will turn on you and outright destroy you, you know. And this right here is the prime example of what it is when a masquerading spirit is at work in a believer's life. They will assign different little terrors and enemies and agents to come into your life and destroy and destruct the plan of God that's for your life. And trust me, when that person did that to you, they already were assigned to destroy the blessings that God had for you. And they want to disrupt you or take you off your course. So you cannot be able to identify if it's from God or if it's from yourself or from some other spirit. And they're very, very intelligent enough to be able to discern when is the right time to throw in there a terror, you know. And that's why you always have to be in a prayer mode. You cannot be a person who's just dabbling in prayer. You pray some days, but you don't. You need to have a consistent prayer life with God. You need to be able to discern the good, the bad, and be able to always ask God to help you discern, because we don't have these gifts on our own. God is the one who enables us to see what the enemy is doing and all of the deception that comes in our life. We can't just assume that we know this stuff. And I really, what hurts me in my soul at times is when I see believers that will say, no, I already know. I know the Lord. I know him. And I don't need anyone to tell me, you know, I already have the Spirit of God in me. And then they'll go out and make reckless decisions against their lives. And then when you talk to them later after they made the decisions, they're very, very, very devastated. And they're very then broken. And most of the time they won't stay around because they feel like they they've failed. And so they be very ashamed and they want to walk away from the things of God, and it just destroys their soul. So I feel sorry when I see people who are really, really playing with different spirits and walking around in a lot of rebellion and sin, because they don't recognize that these masquerading spirits are bidding for them, okay? Bidding for them one after another. And I feel sorry for people who also too, you know, I've been through it, so I know how it feels to be deceived, and you thought you were helping someone that really care for you or really like you or really want to, you wanted to see them succeed, and then, you know, you thought they were a real true friend, but then, you know, yes, all the whole time they were just trying to win over your trust so they could aim their attack towards you. It's a very hurtful thing, but that is another way that God shows us where we're at on the mark with Him. Are we really, really operating under the Spirit of the Lord ourselves? If we are really following after Him, are we really, really, really being able to discern what's good and what's not? Or is it something we think we're going to get out of it? That's why we're going along with it. Because sometimes that is what the situation is. You may meet someone, you kind of know they're not really right. And you think, oh, you know, well, maybe that's just their character. No, when you think they're really not right and you can see it, then let it go. It's better to leave it alone than try to investigate it. Unless the Lord is really putting you thoroughly through the fact to help that person, and you know you can tell that's the Lord, where you've actually asked Him several times and He's confirmed it, I would not encourage you to get so way deep into it. Mainly because when you get so caught up into the deception by the person, you take your focus off of the spiritual deception that's going on. You're focusing on the flesh. Oh, that person. And then you got to go around and got to tell more people. Oh, you know, let me tell you what such did to me. And it's constantly based around that person. And see, then that spirit that is masquerading in that person is never being dealt with. It's never been exposed. So the person loses well because the masquerading spirit is using the person. And the person from that point on is being defamed because it allowed the masquerading spirit to use them, because they were the one that hurt you initially. So when that masquerading spirit is not being exposed, both people lose the battle in the spiritual realm. And that is not really how we are supposed to be walking in the things of God. We're supposed to be moving from victory to victory, not from injury to, defeat. We're not supposed to be walking backwards. We're supposed to be going further. Many people, for this reason alone, has walked out of the body of Christ, have left the church, have left the things of God, and want nothing to do with it, because they believe that, you know, they may had, you know, there's times where I've seen people made a mistake and they did mess up, and they wasn't really aware that that masquerading spirit too was using them to defame someone or hurt someone. And they just felt like, you know what, it can't be repaired. It can't be fixed. So they couldn't discern what went wrong, what was wrong and what happened. So they just totally relinquished all their attachments and their relationship went out the door as well, with all the people. So that's why it's important that we stay focused, brothers and sisters, to learn how to really discern what type of spirits that we're around. You know, we have so many spirits that will try to enter into a person's body and mind and soul. And there's so many spirits that are trying to traffic people, spirits. So we have to really be careful at what person or people, or, you know, the type of spirit that is trying to enter into a relationship with us. And this spirit is very, very conniving. It has been the root to many bad relationships as well. It has destroyed godly relationships by tricking one or the other to think they can still maneuver or trick the other one in the process of trying to do what they claim is right. And I think that a lot of women have been really injured behind this spirit, because they will say, you know, I really thought this was, you know, the man, my Boaz, the man I was going to marry. You know, I believed that he was really a man of God, a man of influence, but, you know, he was able to manipulate me and cause me to go so deep into the relationship till I felt really like this was the right one. And then to find only out that this person was not a real person. This person never cared about me. And I felt sorry because I heard a story, and I'm not going to really name drop, but it was a situation in regards to a woman who fell in love with a so-called leader pastor. And the things that were said about the woman after she found out the truth about, you know, what situation she was in, what that spirit told her was really, really devastating. And what was said was, that was what you believed after she had confronted that person, what he had said. And that is what a masquerading spirit will do. It will turn on you. It will not take the blame for its wrongdoing. It will never come clean with whatever it is going on. It will constantly try to manipulate and squeeze in and out. And even if you get it to go away, you have to be careful, because masquerading spirits are constantly trying to come back through doors that we sometimes open, through relationships, through different types of occult practice for people who are caught up in the occult and has been dabbling with the occult all their life. They've been concentrated. They've been infested with all of those kinds of spirits. And once they get with a normal person who hasn't, then that person gets all caught up with those spirits as well. And then all of a sudden they become just like that person, you know, a messy person, liar, cheating, fighting. A lot of those spirits, they are transferable spirits, and they will transfer into your body, and you will not be aware of that spirit. And when people try to tell you, you know, look, something's different, something's not right, you know what I'm saying, about you, you might want to see what it really is. Because we sometimes can really fall into a slump when we get around people who are already infested. You know, I've seen other things where, other times where, you know, women will be so attracted to a bad boy and not recognizing that bad boy is bringing spirits into her when they're coming together, and it just turns out to be terrible. And again, like I said earlier, you know, no one is exception from this rule. You know, if you get caught up, or if you find yourself in a situation where you could be an innocent bystander doing good on your job and, you know, pretty much serving the Lord, reading your word, and a masquerading spirit will then try to attack you through someone there that is jealous of you. Because masquerading spirits are really spirits that are just trying to really bring you down, trying to cause you problems in your life, trying to ultimately cause you a miserable life, and then take you out all at the same time by making you make the decisions to agree to some type of covenant or agreement that they have in place for your life to be destroyed by. So we just have to really, really seek the Lord in this day and time, that there's so many people who are dealing with a masquerading spirit. The other thing I wanted to go into is because, you know, in Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 12, the scripture talks about a deep sleep when God allowed Abram to go into a deep sleep. And then also in Genesis 2, chapter 2, 20, and verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam as well. And he slept, you know. And then how, you know, the Lord, you know, at some point will allow us to go into a deep sleep. And I believe when we go into this deep sleep, this is when we are given a true message. We are being given or shown or warned in our dream, that we may need to deal with something that's going on or that's pending in the spiritual realm against us, because we don't always know what these spirits are going to do. We are just kind of like here because we're sheep, you know what I'm saying? So we're waiting, the Bible says, waiting to be slaughtered. Unfortunately, nobody want to think of it that way, but that's pretty much how it looks in the spiritual realm when you don't know what's going on. So, you know, because of our understanding and the little knowledge that many of us have gotten from, you know, the church, it hadn't really given us enough of time to prepare and understand exactly how the spiritual realm has worked for many years. And as you may know, the devil has been fully watching you for a long time. He has been seizing you and trying to take advantage of you on every chance. So how is that being done and how is that being accomplished? Because there is a spiritual realm. See, we actually, when we fall asleep, we're able to engage in the spiritual realm there. And so when we would see dreams and things in the spiritual realm, we, in most cases, would never challenge what we've seen because we didn't know that it wasn't, it was something that was done against us. So we had to challenge it. But once we become aware that the spiritual realm is the parent realm and that the realm that we normally focus on is the physical realm, we don't understand that the spiritual realm is where everything starts. And if it's not challenged, people, it will enter into this physical realm, and that's how things will come and manifest itself and begin to destroy the believer's or the dreamer's life. So it really is important to try to understand the difference between the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. You know, it will help you so much. And in Job chapter 33, verse 15 says, in a dream and in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds. Here we go again. He's telling you where the deep sleep will come upon. It will fall on people as they slumber in their beds. You know, sometimes, you know, a person can have a really good night rest. And I believe that is really behind what they call so much like a physical sleep, you know. But a deep sleep is when God allows you to enter into that deep sleep where he can actually show you what is going on in that spiritual realm. And in most cases, when you fell into a deep sleep, you can probably remember what you've dreamed a little bit more than you can in your physical sleep. So it's very important. Like I said, we will all are going to experience dreams, you know. In some dreams, you can remember little bits and pieces of it. In some dreams, you can remember the whole caboodle, the whole dream. And what I've been told and what I've done in the past, I'm not going to say I'm perfect with this, but some people are good at this. They will write all their dreams down that they can remember, you know. And they will use their dreams as a way to try to interpretate a message. And I've learned how to do that too, because I found that it kept me more aware and more alert of how to keep track of what's been going and what's pending against me and what's trying to come against whatever it is that God is trying to show me in that realm. And it's important for us to take always our dreams serious, not to overlook the issues, the outlines, the things that stands out in our dreams, and to never wake up from a dream and not challenge a bad dream or a negative dream. You should always be willing to address that from the spiritual realm by prayer. And sometime your spirit will lead you to have to fast, because some things that are done in the spiritual realm will require your spirit to fast, because it needs that extra help and time so that you can be able to cancel and your angels that you pray and ask God to release on your behalf will fight against that thing that's trying to hurt you. So I'm telling you now that you have to be very careful with ignoring and not addressing your dreams. You have to be very careful at speaking to people about your life and telling them about your dreams and telling them all your business, because we have to be responsible for things that God show us, and some things cannot be truly revealed to everyone because we don't know really all the time who is real and who is not. And that is the mask that people will use. They will operate behind what is called a mask, okay? But we call it a masquerading spirit because that spirit is normally using them to either hurt you or destroy your destiny, you know? And that's why God has encouraged us as believers to always to pay attention to different things about people. Far as, you know, a masquerading spirit, you know, job, you know, has been, you know, done mainly while we're sleeping. According to Matthew 13:25 says, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed terrors among the wheat and went his way." Now this right here is a clear example of the enemy trying to plant negative things, seeds, into a believer's life while they're sleeping, because that's when they're more rested, that's when they're more unaware and defenseless. They're not able to really stop them because they're asleep, you know. And this is one of the greatest dangers a man can face in the spiritual realm, is when this happens in their sleep, you know. And this is why we was talking earlier about how, you know, our bodies are designed, you know, for the physical sleep and then the spiritual sleep. God has created our bodies to have a physical sleep so we can maintain and stay healthy and grow. But there is a side of us that will enter sometime into a spiritual sleep. And that spiritual sleep is very important that we pay attention to what is really going on when we find ourselves in that spiritual sleep, and not to ignore it and overlook the meaning. Sometime you're going to have to do a little more research than what you probably intended. Because if you're not a person who has been used to operating in the realm of the spirit, and you're just used to praying just basic prayers or maybe long, lengthy prayers, but you don't really understand what happens after the prayer, then basically that is a disadvantage for you because you're not really wellly informed in how the spiritual realm will work either for you or against you, okay? And, you know, and God will, you know, try to warn his people, you know, who are the wheats, on how to identify if there is a masquerading spirit or a terror among them, you know. And he wants us to know and be able to identify who are our true enemies. And how God does this by warning us. He does warn us, one, through dreams. Two, by a person's conduct, like we said. Three, by a person's character. And four, by a person's words. And that's very important, brothers and sisters, because people will deceive you if you allow them. And I believe that some people have been able to deceive many of us because we liked it something about them, or we trusted that they could do what they said they can do, or we felt that God had sent them to us because they were like a person that came along right after we prayed about something. And that's all the more that we should be more able to take that person to prayer before we just let them in our life. Very important. We have to pay attention to that kind of person. I've seen many people, you know, will say, you know, well, how is these spirits able to interact with us? And how, you know, how are they, you know, how is the spirits able to come up against us, and why? Well, you know, one of the interesting things about people who wear a mask, and why we try to say we add it as a masquerading spirit, because it's a person that's trying to deceive you. They're false. So they're not going to come like you, like they're going to deceive you. They're going to come like they're not going to deceive you, you know. And a person have to realize that when people are out to do wrong to you, they're going to try to hit you in places like your emotions. They're going to try to come and try to tackle you from your emotions and from your character. You know, that's what a masquerading spirit is trying to do. They're trying to physically attack you from your emotions and your character. Usually they're trying to get you emotionally connected to them so they can attack your character. And that's how they're able to kind of deceive you and trick you, because they know if they get you emotionally connected or engaged with you emotionally, they know that once they get you, they can then go after your character. So you have to pay attention to why people are in your life, plain and simple. Masquerading spirits also, they tend to operate in different ways. I've heard people say, well, you know, I really thought this was the move of God in my life, you know, and they were left devastated. But they really did not hear from God, really. And maybe they didn't hear from God because of the doors that they had already opened in their life. And again, like I said earlier, you know, I've heard people say, you know, well, you know, I thought this was the person that I was going to be with, and look what happened, you know. But, you know, we have to take responsibility sometimes for what we do as well. We cannot just say, well, I thought this was the person I'm supposed to be with, and let our guards down once we meet that person. Anybody will come along and take all that you have to give if you're willing to give it, you know. So we can't just say, oh, it was a bad thing, God wasn't with me. No, you're right. God wasn't with you once you start opening the door to sin, once you start going into it deeper than what you were supposed to. You know, the Lord already says that he will not dwell in an unclean place. And so we have to be responsible when we make certain decisions that go past what the word says we're supposed to do. In chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds, all animals, domestic and wild, small and large. Right here, God is showing us, he's given us dominion, the right to operate like him. Well, when I say that, I'm talking about it from the element of being able to produce things by our words. And sometimes spirits try to trick us, and they try to cause us to mess up our life by speaking the wrong things into our life too soon, before we know if we are with what we say we are with. You know, you have to make sure somebody has your best interests before you can just say that's the person who's for you, because they make you feel like you have butterflies when you're around them, or that they, you know, paid your bills, or that they went and bought you a diamond ring or something to that kind of extent. spirits are very aware when a person is not operating in his or her authority, and they will take advantage over that human soul by producing ideals through dreams so that they can have a legal right to enter into a human's life by illegal practices. So a lot of times women will have dreams, men will have dreams, they met a woman, and just because they had the dream, they will not investigate it. They will not look into it. They'll say, oh, you know, I know this is from God because, you know, I just had a dream. I was going to meet a lady that looks really similar to her. And then it worked out. And then when he gets with her, he's like, oh my God, I don't think this was from God. This was something else. These are the operation of masquerading spirits and counterfeit spirits that will come to your dreams. And they will put certain things in your mind, in your dream pattern, to make you believe that you have been given this from God. Again, like we said earlier, if we look back, that masquerading spirit has been trying to counterfeit the Holy Spirit, you know? And in 1 John says, do not believe every spirit. John makes it very clear that many spirits are not from God. He says that many prophets have gone out into the world. That's really important, that those who are so captivated by people giving them a word from God, wanting to hear from God through someone else's means, their spirit, and not seeking God for that word for themselves, they can be easily influenced by a masquerading spirit that has been sent only to deceive them, to make them believe that they have heard from the Holy Spirit. And that is very powerful in this day and time, because a lot of people have been destroyed by leaders, false prophets who are claiming to be true men and women of God, and they are not even no longer hearing from God. And if they give you a word, you know you're in bad shape then, because if that's the only word you're going to rely on, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to be destroyed. So that spirit has been so prevalent in the body of Christ, and many believers have fell away also because they have been ruined by the masquerading spirit, because they are so focused on the man, the title, and the way it looks, instead of asking God, is this really a true man of God? Is this really what you really would have for me? You know, we have to pay attention to that, because also in verse 3, and I'm going back to 1 John, and in verse 3, it's saying that there has been an antichrist spirit, which has already been here in the world. So when we go back to our first part in the masquerading spirit, it says the origin of the word masquerade was identified in the 1950s. It has already been here. People have been operating, these spirits have been operating under a mask before mankind for many years. And that is how they have been so ignored and unexposed. People have been befriended by people they thought that were their very true friend, only to find out this was a person who was wearing a mask, a masquerading spirit, a spirit that has been lying to them, that's been deceiving them, that's been phony to them, that's been acting as if they care about them and don't care at all. Someone that is outright trying to destroy them at their own omission. Masquerading spirits have already been, like I said, amongst us in this world. But why we have not known this, because again, our churches have not always based their messages around deliverance. Many teachers and pastors and preachers have based their messages on the love of God and have not based their messages on the works of the flesh, which would ordinarily open up the basis for deliverance. So when we don't really talk about the flesh and things that happen to the flesh and spirits that will attack our flesh and our mind and our spirits, we don't give ourselves the right to learn about being delivered from different spirits. And the church, who is supposed to be the place where we would learn about being delivered from these types of spirits, will not be able to help us identify when we're going or when we're dealing or when we've been attacked by these spirits, because they will not study these kinds of things, and it causes nothing but both sides to lose in the spiritual realm. When a spirit has not been identified, it automatically goes unexposed. So there is people that, you know, there's times even I've come to, you know, a few of my former pastors and, you know, asked them different situations, and they were not able to really answer me, you know, and I find that to be a negative, you know, because had I had someone that understood about the spiritual realm and how it's important to understand that there is a battle we're in, and we're not in just a battle with our adversary, even though we know that he is the main core behind the battle. But we also are being inflicted by different spirits that have been assigned to the believer from day one. And when people are not addressing those kinds of issues in the body of Christ, you have people who are going around with spirits all their life, but they cannot be exposed because there's no one to expose the spirits that they have. And if they are going through a deliverance, that's a good thing, but hopefully they will learn how to stay clear of those spirits so they won't continue to go back and forth, because that is another problem that happens with masquerading and counterfeit spirits. You know, people will, you know, be freed from the spirit, but they will still open the door back and forth, and so it can sometimes just constantly be like a circus of spirits. And we do not want to think that, you know, God would have us to be infested with spirits that would ruin the lives of many people. But through prayer and fasting, we have to be able to identify, are we dealing with the Holy Spirit or a masquerading spirit? And my ideal to you is that you must challenge, like John said, you must not believe every spirit. You have to learn how to challenge these spirits so that you will not be misled and confused and destroyed by these different types of spirits. And if you're going to learn how to challenge spirits, you must stay in the Word of God. You must learn how to rightly divide the Word of God for yourself. You must learn how to pray and be consistent with a consistent prayer life daily, more than one time a day. Prayer is necessary. Demonic spirits, they will block the doors to your entrance, because they know if they can keep the door cracked, they can squeeze another spirit through it. And that's what you don't want. You want to learn how to close the doors once you kick them out. You cannot afford to keep the doors open or cracked or be halfway in and halfway out. That is an open door to masquerading and demonic spirits. So, you know, we have to learn as believers to, you know, get to the root of the issues in our lives. If there's things going on in our life, things that is constantly played a peril or a pattern in our life, you know, we may want to pay attention to what it is. And even if you have to take the moment, the time to write down the patterns that have basically played out in your life over and over, or if you notice something always happens every 5 years or something strange, it's something you have to deal with from the spiritual realm. You need to be around people who understands it, or you take your concerns or the issues that you're going through to someone that may have information, or you may have to find, do your own research. You may have to go to the library, or you may have to go online or order books that will discuss those types of issues so that you can get to the root of the problem, and so that you can be freed from these masquerading and demonic spirits. I don't want it to seem like it's easy, because it's a process, and I'm not going to say, oh, you just, you know, you read one or you say one prayer. It takes time, because we are all around many spirits. We have a lot of spirits that are among us, and we are always constantly fighting this fight against these spirits. There's so many demonic spirits that are trying to deceive us and take advantage of us. But our job is to stay in connection, in relationship, and in prayer with our Father in heaven, so that He can show us when we are being misled and being mistreated, or when something has occurred to us, and we are able to then identify what type of spirit that has come among us. So, you know, one thing that I had thought about, you know, and it says, do not be deceived about demonic spirits. They do not need your permission to enter, but they must get your permission to stay. And that's important. Once you identify who they are, you have the legal right to evict them out of you. You have the legal right to clean your house out, kick them out, and do not let them come back. So we have to be very careful how we deal with this spiritual realm and these spirits. And every person is going to be affected by a demonic spirit, a masquerading spirit, some form or type of spirit that is going to try to deceive them. There's no person that's exempt from this. So we have to learn how to trust God to show us when we are not in our right place, and that we must get back and ask God to show us how to defeat these spiritual demonic spirits, you know. So today I just wanted to share this information. I hope that you are encouraged to do your own research and allow God to help you with identifying this masquerading spirit if it is operating in your life, and asking the Lord to help you be freed from this demonic spirit, or this masquerading spirit, or this counterfeit spirit. Since I'm ready to leave now, I want to encourage you guys to do some spiritual cleaning inside your own house. Sometimes we are led it from time to time to get rid of things that may also become a hindrance in our own lives. And that is mainly when it comes to things that we may have bought into our own homes. We have to sometimes go in and look at things that we may have opened doors, whether it's by different patterns or it's things that we have bought in regards to pictures, or we may have picked up at a garage sale that could have had a spirit attached to it. And as soon as we bought it into our home, it has caused our home to have all kind of trouble and problems. Things have been acting weird. Wickedness has been coming forward. And it's always a root to a problem. So, and I encourage you, our friends and listeners here on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry, if you believe you need prayer in regards to masquerading spirits, counterfeit spirits, copycat spirits, please send your emails to sendforthyourword@gmail.com. Also, if you have a testimony you'd like to share in regards to this topic on the air, feel free to also send your email to sendforthyourwordradioministry. I'm your host, Sister Keisha, and I've had a wonderful time talking to you, our friends and listeners. I ask you to come back for another episode on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. May God be the get the glory, and may you continue to be blessed. And I'll see you then.
Together one time, my heart.